will manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church is the life. It still gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Real Presence Live. It is Thursday, April 25th, and we are here at St. Anne's Parish in Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm one of your co-hosts, Karen Selensky, along with the wonderful Father Craig Holkalter, the pastor of St. Anne's, and always a pleasure to be here with you, Father.
I got a wonderful.
There you go. I'm always blessed to have you with me.
You should know that as I was looking through the talking notes, I was practicing your last name.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. And you have that down now today?
I actually believe that the Holy Spirit inspired me not to use it in the two-hour show.
Oh.
And so I feel like I'm loud this morning. I feel I'm trying to craft ways for our entrances and exits out of segments and breaks that I can just say Karen, but then I'm thinking, well, I don't like the informality of that.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm glad you're practicing that.
And speaking of formality, did you know that today is the patron saint of notaries today?
I did not know that.
Yes, I preached this morning, Karen, that I'm thinking, when was the last time you prayed to the patron saint of notaries?
Yeah,
exactly.
I never.
But you do know that right now listening, there is some very faithful, devout Catholic notary that does pray to St. Mark. It's the Feast of St. Mark today, the evangelist. God bless him, chosen one of the four. Think of all the... I'm sure both of our bishops this morning, we have the first hour is both bishops.
Yes.
That's something, huh?
That is something. Bishop Cousins and Bishop Kagan.
Yeah, get a little nervous, and we should jump to those because I know that Bishop Cousins is waiting. But before we do that, and he would appreciate it as well, why don't we pray to the patron today?
Yes, please.
The man whose name we honor in life, and thank God he wrote the gospel that we continue to read, and a man chosen by God to reveal himself. And so we pray. To all of our listeners, good morning. It's a wonderful day, and let's ask for God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, you called the evangelist St. Mark from his youth to labor alongside the apostles in bringing good news to the nations and to record their saving proclamation in the gospel that he penned. Look with mercy upon our parishes dedicated to his patronage, those organizations and institutions and schools as well. And help us all to devote our gifts and talents to the task of evangelization. Call young people from our families to imitate St. Mark in leaving everything to serve the church. Lead all of us, young and old, to know you through the scriptures and the traditions of the apostles, to love you in the sacraments and in our neighbor, and to proclaim you to every creature with our words and our deeds, all of which we offer up for the glory of your name, who with the God the Father and in the unity of the Holy Spirit are God forever and ever. Amen. St. Mark, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father. That was beautiful.
Well, St. Mark just needs more attention. Mm-hmm. So do all the notaries mm-hmm. in the world, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I think St. Matthew is the one of like English teachers and writers, but then I think St. Mark is the one that kind of holds notaries.
Neat.
So for whatever it's worth. We have on remotely, by way of phone, Bishop Andrew Cousins of the Diocese of Crookston. Bishop Cousins, good morning, and thanks for your time this morning as we celebrate St. Mark and we talk about the Eucharistic Congress that you're hosting in your diocese. Welcome to Real Presence Radio.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Bishop Cousins, you currently are the Bishop of Crookston. How long have you been there?
It's about 2.5 years, I guess, now. So going on my third year this December.
We thank you for your service to the church alongside St. Mark, who's notably Bishop of, I think, Alexandria. You'd know more than I would. Bishop Cousins. I studied at St. John Vianney in St. Paul, Minnesota. And at that time you were Father Cousins and were greatly revered and honored by friends of friends. And so it's a delight that Karen and I get to interview you this mm-hmm. morning, especially on such an important topic and one that is, I know, near and dear to your heart. And so I want to, for the sake of a radio interview, you know, narrow the scope. I want to speak particularly about the Eucharistic Congress coming up in just a few weeks in Bemidji, Minnesota, but then maybe a little bit of the foundational of the Eucharistic Revival. So, Bishop Cousins, could you just in short kind of give us the foundation of the Eucharistic Revival that the United States bishops have engaged upon for the past couple of several months and even years for the Catholics of the United States? Can you just kind of give a cursory glance on that revival, where it came from? And I think we're in the third year, so if you could kind of give us an outline of that for our listeners.
Yeah, we're actually in the second year, so the third year will begin this summer of the National Eucharistic Revival, and basically it's a renewal of a great tradition in the Catholic Church, which is we need to spend time meditating on, studying, encountering in a profound way Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, because it's such a great gift that the Church has been given, really the heart of our faith. And it happens in some generations, as in our own, that people lose sight of the greatness of that gift. And so it was that kind of sense that, especially in our modern secularized culture, that many people don't understand, many Catholics don't understand the greatness of the gift, that the bishops wanted the whole Church to focus on the Eucharist for a few years to strengthen our devotion, our love, and also to help us understand how the Eucharist is the key to evangelization, really. As everybody knows, we're living in this important missionary moment in the United States, where the Church in the United States is being called to embrace her identity as a Church that exists to evangelize. And that strength to evangelize and the truth that we're evangelizing comes and flows from the Eucharist. And it's really our goal, especially with the upcoming Eucharistic Congresses here in Bemidji, but also even the National Congress, that people who come will be inspired to become evangelists, and that they'll become the missionaries that we are being called to be in our age.
I think it was striking what you just said, Bishop Cousins, and I think there's an important catechetical or kind of a lesson that communicates a spiritual lesson or truth of the bishops leading us to a three-year journey. Right, that there's, it's not going to be a weekend, you know. These congresses and these different kind of events that maybe be a weekend, it has to be so much more than that, because it takes time. The Lord, relationships grow in time, and that's what we're after, is this relationship between Jesus and us in the Eucharist, and how that feeds the evangelical spirit or the zeal. And what you just said there I thought was so striking, and I'm glad you said it again, and I think it needs to be echoed over and over, is that the revival's 3 years, and I'm glad you corrected what I said in terms of the third year only starting this summer, because it takes time to nourish and deepen that. And I know you know that as a bishop, but I'm glad you said it again. You do have, in just a few weeks, you talked about the National Congress, that's in July in Indianapolis. But in your own diocese and in the city of Bemidji, talk to us, Bishop Cousins, about the title is the Star. I want to get this right. The Star of the North Eucharistic Congress in Bemidji, and that's coming up here in the month of May. It's such an appropriate month. What date? So let's talk about when it is, and then we'll get into the kind of the heart of the matter.
Yeah. So it's May 17 to 19. So it starts on Friday night. We'll have, you know, incredible speakers. Bishop Barron, I believe, is talking on Friday night. And then on Saturday, the 18th, we'll go all day. All this is at the Sanford Center in Bemidji, in the stadium there. We have already about 2,600 people signed up for it. We hope to certainly get over 3,000.
Wow.
And then on Sunday, we'll all go out to Lake Itasca State Park, which is about 35 miles from Bemidji, where we'll have an open-air mass, a mass outside right by the park, and then we'll have a Eucharistic procession to the headwaters of the Mississippi, which is really an important historical spot for our whole country, really, the Mississippi River marking the whole country. And some people even know the Mississippi River was originally named the River of the Immaculate Conception. And so we'll give benediction there at the headwaters, and then the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage will commence from there. And that's, you know, some pilgrims who have been recruited, young adults and priests and seminarians, who will process on pilgrimage diocese to diocese, church to church, all the way to Indianapolis. And as is, I think, known, there's four of these pilgrimages, So one begins here in the Diocese of Crookston at the northern route. The southern route begins in the Diocese of Brownsville, Texas, right at the border, at the cathedral there. And then the western route begins at the cathedral in San Francisco. And the eastern route begins at the tomb of Blessed Michael McGivney, founder of the Knights of Columbus in New Haven, Connecticut. And those four pilgrimages will proceed for 2 months, going church by church, parish by parish, as much as possible on foot, and inviting people to join in this pilgrimage all the way to Indianapolis. So really historic events that are happening. And if I could just say a word about, you know, what a Eucharistic Congress is.
Yes, please, Bishop.
Yeah, a Eucharistic Congress is really an opportunity for us to come together as the church and to remember and to celebrate and to hold up this incredible gift of the Eucharist. And this is a movement that's been going on in the church for close to 200 years. And Congress has happened, you know, all around the world. There's international and national and local diocesan congresses. And the goal is, the Eucharist is such a great gift, we have to come together and meditate on it, and we have to study it, and we have to spend time in prayer together, and that when we do this, our own faith is renewed and strengthened. And anyone who's ever been to a big mass like this knows there's a special kind of presence of the Holy Spirit when the church gathers in this kind of way and has this opportunity for confession and for prayer and adoration, and also to hear inspiring talks. So I just want to really encourage people. It's going to be a moment of grace for all of the upper Midwest here. I think almost all the bishops of the region will be there. I think they're going to have 11 bishops present for the Mass on Saturday morning, maybe even 13. And then, you know, it's just going to be a gathering of the church, certainly from Minnesota, but we'll have many people from North Dakota and South Dakota, and an opportunity for us to gather, celebrate this great gift, be inspired, and then also be sent home with a new fire and a new spirit.
Bishop Cousins, there's so much to say. Firstly, thank you for your national leadership in the revival, and then your regional with this Congress. And to your point, really inviting, you know, you're at 2,600, but hopes to get 3,000, and not focused on numbers. But I like how you said, and Karen and I looked at each other when you said there is a certain outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a certain felt presence when the church gathers in that sort of way. And what a beautiful year. I want to get to, we're coming up on kind of a soft break here, but the original name of the Mississippi River, the River of the Immaculate Conception, how appropriate that. I mean, so there's a homily for me in there, and I'm in Bismarck. but at least one or two or ten homilies in terms of the river bringing in the foundations of our own country, and how Mary brought in, right, the foundations of the Eucharist and conceiving the Eucharist in her Jesus in her womb. I wanted to ask you this, and I made this note, Bishop Cousins, the name Star of the North, what's the origin of that? Can you probably maybe correct some people's assumptions, and then maybe you affirm people's assumptions in that?
Yes, yeah, so of course Our Lady is the star. We speak of her as the star of the sea often, and that's actually the patroness of the Diocese of Duluth, Our Lady, Star of the Sea. But we also, you know, the North Star is the star that people guide their compasses by, right? And so in that sense, we wanted to hold up Our Lady and how she leads us to Jesus, you know? And so the idea was, especially in the month of May, to honor Our Lady with this Eucharistic Congress, with the idea that as we come together, she's gonna lead us to Jesus. It also emphasizes that we're the Northland up here, right? Crookston is the furthest north diocese in the continental United States. So,
there's so much,
a lot of connections,
geography,
yeah.
And this is I don't know if it's an eighth grade or a senior or something I missed, but this is robust. His Excellency Bishop Andrew Cousins of the Diocese of Crookston is with us, Karen Zielinski and I, fellow Hochalter, pastor of the Church of St. Anne. We're going to go to a soft break here. It's 9:15. Locally, we'll be back with Bishop Cousins to speak more about the Eucharistic Congress coming up in Bemidji, May 17th, 18th, and 19th. We'll be right back.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Thank you.
At the University of Mary, we offer an education for the whole of life. Our values-based, flexible, and affordable education will prepare you for success and help you become a leader in your field. Whether you want to start your degree for the first time or continue your education, whether you are a working professional or want to pursue school full-time, join us for an education that will help you make a positive impact in our community. Discover the Mary difference. UMary.edu. That's UMary.edu.
I remember even during that time, and this was during the beginning years of John Paul II's pontificate, and whenever I heard him on TV, because he was always in the news, especially with his travels in Eastern Europe, Poland and all, I would hear the things that would come out of his mouth, and I would go, there's no way this person is not closer to God than I am. You know, so I always had this sort of secret respect for John Paul II. Of course, I never said this to any of my brethren friends. You know,
you wouldn't dare.
No, of course not. But I don't mean to disparage them, because they taught me to love the Scripture. And interestingly enough, even though they do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, they had communion every Sunday, and so they really taught me to love the Lord's Supper and to love the Scriptures, and so I'm really thankful to them for that.
Let us run to Mary, and as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Thank you for staying with us here on Real Presence Live. We are broadcasting here in Bismarck, North Dakota at St. Anne's Catholic Church. I'm one of your co-hosts, Karen Selensky, along with Father Craig Hochalter, the pastor here at St. Anne's. And we have a beautiful sunny day here in Bismarck. It's going to be 70 degrees, and then tomorrow and the weekend it's going to rain. So we're blessed, right, Father?
You're filled with Easter joy. The tomb's yes, empty, Karen. The tomb
right.
is empty.
So I'm just saying, we're going to enjoy the sunshine today. So we are visiting with Bishop Andrew Cousins about the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress, and he shared some beautiful information about the Congress so far. It's going to be a wonderful event scheduled for May 17th, 18th, and 19th. And Bishop Cousins, would you just give us, our listeners, an outline of what the event and what the speakers are going to be about?
Yeah, so Friday night we'll gather with an opening session in the main arena there at the Sanford Center in Bemidji, right on the lake. And we'll have, wonderful music from Ali Lea, as well as Bishop Robert Barron will give a beautiful keynote that night. Great to have him in the state of Minnesota here as one of our local bishops. And then we'll have a holy hour with Bishop Felton from Duluth, just some time to actually pray together before the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. And one of the exciting things is going to be Saturday morning we'll begin with Mass, and I think we'll have, as I said, around 13 bishops there. Archbishop Hebda from the Twin Cities will preside at that, of course, many priests and deacons as well, and all the people. And then that morning we have a presentation by Sister Jude Andrew. She's a Dominican Sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist from Michigan, an excellent speaker. And we'll also have a presentation, for the youth of various things, Tanner Kalina and Alex Doe, who are kind of the founders of this Saints Alive podcast, which is great. And then I'll be giving a talk in the afternoon, along with Father Mike Schmitz, who will be giving a talk in the afternoon. And one of the exciting things for me is we're going to conclude the evening with Pentecost fireworks over Lake Bemidji. So after we conclude about 4:30 in the afternoon, people have a break for dinner, but then we'll gather back to watch fireworks and celebrate the coming of Pentecost. And then the next day at 10 a.m. is the large mass at Lake Itasca State Park, which, as I said, is about 35 minutes from Bemidji, an easy trip that morning. And then that'll be the big outdoor mass, and we'll process from there to the headwaters for benediction.
Bishop Cousins, the timing of that Pentecost is fantastic, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go. I think I have a wedding, but maybe I'll get a substitute for the bride and groom. I meet with them later today. That's fantastic illustration wow. of, yes. of, and for people to you know, to use the senses like that and just to elicit
yeah,
the art.
Yeah, it's
that.
Actually interesting. When we were looking at when to start the Eucharistic pilgrimages nationally, we also found out that May 18th is the feast of St. Paschal Baylon, who is the patron of Eucharistic congresses.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And right around there, too, is the birthday of St. John Paul II. I think it's either that day or the day before.
Yeah,
so we're grateful to begin it both at Pentecost and with our patron, mm-hmm. St. Paschal Baylon.
Yeah, the Lord's hand is so a part of this. It's clear just in a short order, Bishop Cousins, from you being on air. We will pray. We commit to you and to the diocese and to all those that attend our prayers. There's, you noted kind of in the introduction, Your Excellency, that when people gather, like they do, and speaking of Pentecost, right, that there's a unique outpouring and the grace really threads through souls when we can see one another witness to the faith we believe in, the true faith, and especially Eucharistic love. Can you speak more about that, Bishop Cousins, in terms of, you know, your hopes and the bishop's hopes for when people gather like this in Congress form of what the Lord can do, especially through his body and blood?
Yeah, you know, we just, it's part of the incarnational reality of what it means to be the church. Mm. You know, we could all stay home and watch these things online, I suppose, but there's something really about being together that allows the Holy Spirit to work and allows us to be inspired. And anyone who's ever been to a big mass like this knows that there's a witness factor to it. And you think of even our young people who don't get to see, you know, they might go to a small church here in rural diocese of Crookston, and they don't get to see many other young people, but then they come together and see this big event, and they see the church is alive, and there are a lot of really committed people, and we're inspired by their devotion and by the energy. And when we hear those speakers in that context, that makes more sense to us, and we're more committed. And it's really about the fact that we're incarnational beings, right? If we come together and make the sacrifices, then it opens us up to what the Holy Spirit wants to do, rather than just sitting at home or reading something or watching something. This actually has a much bigger impact.
Bishop Cousins, the locations and then this joint effort of the pilgrimages, you know, if you could first, and I've always wondered this too, we're planning our own Eucharistic procession for Corpus Christi here at St. Anne's, and can you give us just a short kind of a little catechesis in terms of the origin of Eucharistic pilgrimages, Eucharistic processions, and maybe how that folds into, I hope this is not too much, but in how that, for our time, how that folds into the bishop's approach to these kind of coming from the four ends of the continental United States, those pilgrimages. What is the origin? Can you teach us where did that come from? You know, what's the birth of that, and then how does it fold into what's happening in May?
Yeah, actually, the first known Eucharistic procession was done by St. Clare of Assisi in the 1100s, I believe, when she lived. And the Saracens, Islamic invaders, were attacking Assisi, and she took the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance, and she took it outside on the balcony and held it up, and the Saracens were repelled, and not only from her convent, which was outside the walls of Assisi, San Damiano, so there was a great moment of danger for her and her four sisters, right? But also the whole city was protected. And to this day, every year on the anniversary of that fact, the city of Assisi has a Eucharistic procession to honor that. I got to be there for it last June. It was a beautiful event. But basically, it flows from our belief in the real presence, that if we really believe Jesus is really present in the Eucharist, then we believe that he's due of the adoration due to God alone. This is why we bend our right knee when we genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. His presence here is due the adoration that we would owe to God. And so Eucharistic procession, Eucharistic benediction, these are ways of honoring our God who's present among us, and then also bringing him to the people, right? And that's the whole point of a procession. And a lot of people don't know that our first American saint, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, was converted by a Eucharistic procession. she was in Italy. She was an Episcopalian, and she was staying with a Catholic family. It was really good to her, and they took her to the Corpus Christi procession, and when the Blessed Sacrament went by, her Episcopalian pastor was standing behind her, and he whispered in her ear, he said, "These silly peasants, they believe that bread is God." And she said in her own heart, "And I do too." And she ended up becoming a Catholic because she believed that God was present in the Blessed Sacrament. And then she became our first American saint. And so it was the witness of the faith, right? The holding up of the Eucharist, the processing with the faith, the singing, the chanting, singing, honoring God. That witness is very captivating. And it's part of what we hope will happen as we really, literally bring Jesus to the streets of our country through this pilgrimage. We're going to hold him up, we're going to witness, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work on all those who see. And then, of course, there's the pilgrimage aspect of this. A pilgrimage is a journey that we undertake. It's the whole Christian life is a pilgrimage, but it's a journey of conversion and healing that we undertake as we are headed towards our heavenly home. But we do little pilgrimages to Bemidji, to Indianapolis for the National Eucharistic Congress, and these pilgrimages we do for specific intentions and for our own healing and conversion, because we know that making that offering, that sacrificial offering of going and praying and asking for grace, opens us up to the healing and conversion that God wants us to do, which is what our whole Christian life pilgrimage is about.
Your words, Bishop Cousins, are striking. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful portrayal of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and mm-hmm. And to date it all the way back to St. Clair of Assisi. I know our listeners are grateful for it, and you touched the hearts of many with that short but concise and beautiful kind of a illustration of how and why we do what we do as Catholics in processing the Eucharistic Lord through our streets. And folks, you can see this May 17th, 18th, and 19th in Bemidji in the Diocese of Crookston, hosted by His Excellency Bishop Andrew Cousins, who's with us today. Bishop Cousins, for the Eucharistic to the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress, which I know people take notes, you know, in terms of our radio vehicles of social media, is there a cost for the event? And if they do want more than what you offered today, there must be a website.
Yep, go to CrookstonEucharist.org, or just Google Star of the North Eucharistic Congress. It's $40 for adults, $30 for youth, for the you know, evening and day together. There's no cost for the mass at Lake Itasca State Park. The costs, of course, just help us cover the speakers and the stadium that we're renting and all those things. And also go to EucharisticPilgrimage.org if you want to find out where this pilgrimage is going on its way to Indianapolis. The four of them, they might be coming near you. We'll be in several dioceses in the Real Presence Radio listening area. So go to EucharisticPilgrimage.org and find out. Day by day, this pilgrimage is going to make its way, you know, through Minnesota, down to the Twin Cities, and over to Wisconsin, and through Chicago, and all the way down to Indianapolis. So there'll be lots of opportunities to join in this really historic event of prophetic witness and intercession for our country.
Thank you, Bishop Cousins. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about it and
we
imagining.
We need to post that stuff, I think.
Well, not only that, but just the reality of these like four ends from San Francisco and where Father McGivney, and mm-hmm. then down on the border in Texas, mm-hmm. and then, of course, not too far away from Bismarck and Bemidji, and then to the waters up in northern Minnesota. Bishop Cousins, thanks again for your time. And for your witness, Star of the North Eucharistic Congress in Bemidji, May 17th, 18th, and 19th. To all of our listeners and guests on Real Presence Radio, CrookstonEucharist.org is a great means of more information. And Eucharistic Pilgrimage, is that right? EucharisticPilgrimage.org.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. To learn more about kind of those converging pilgrimages that are coming from each of the sides of there. Continental United States. We pledge our prayers to you, not only for the Congress coming up, Bishop Cousins, but for your work and for your apostolic activity in the Diocese of Crookston. Please pray for us as well, and thanks again for your time on the show.
God bless you.
Coming up, another successor after the ranks of St. Mark, Bishop David Kagan of the Diocese of Bismarck. We'll talk about the octave of Easter and the season of Easter. We'll be with us.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Are you thinking about making a gift to Real Presence Radio now or in the future? The easiest and best way to help further our work is with a gift of cash or a gift of stock. These two types of gifts have an immediate impact on our mission. We can begin using the resources you provide to further our mission of evangelization right away. Experience the joy of giving. Call Mike at 701-290-4503 or visit our website at rprlegacy.org. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
How can you know for sure that your loved one is in heaven? Well, the short answer is you can't. I'm Father Chris Alar. But you can have confident hope that they are saved, because no matter when or how they died, even by suicide, you can pray and make sacrifices now to still help them accept God's final offer of grace. Jesus told St. Faustina, "Call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners. I desire their salvation." When you pray with faith on behalf of some sinner, I will give him the grace of conversion. Wow, if you desire heaven for someone, God desires it even more. So do your part to help them get there. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost, and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com.